When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." It's the gospel of our Lord. I would normally say, please be seated, but I forgot to ask you all to rise during the gospel. So this morning, expectation and doubt. Two things that we are getting a fair dose of in today's gospel lesson. John the Baptizer, like anyone, has expectations of who the Messiah was and what the Messiah would and should be doing. He believed at his very core that Jesus was the promised one. And he took his call very seriously, that he needed to proclaim that message, the message of repentance and proper preparation for the Messiah. But now he's been tossed in jail. Nothing is turning out as he expected. And he might be wondering, did I miss something? I thought I did everything I was supposed to do. What happened? Were my expectations not right? Why isn't Jesus laying the axe at the root of the trees that aren't bearing fruit, or separating the wheat from the chaff? Those were John's proclamations from the third chapter of Matthew, right? The gospel lesson from last Sunday. We know that John was the one who baptized Jesus. We know that John witnessed the Spirit of God coming like a dove and the words from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." And he's still wondering, did I make a mistake? Still asking, is Jesus really the Messiah after all? And he's likely thinking, if I was right, life at the time of Messiah is not turning out at all what I thought it would. So to get his own answers to this question and to his doubts, John sends word to Jesus through the disciples and just asks flat out, "Are you the one?" Guess what? Jesus does not give him a flat out answer. He could have said, "Yep, I'm the one, carry on with your duties," but he doesn't. Instead, he tells the disciples to report to John what they see, what they've seen, and what they hear, and what they've already heard. And then in telling them what to report, he spells out the true role of the Messiah: to heal those who need healing, to promote justice, to proclaim good news to the poor. Using phrases directly from Isaiah's prophecies and from the Psalms, phrases that any Jew would have been familiar with. Words about the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame walking, lepers cleansed, the poor receiving good news. I sometimes feel a bit like John in the expectation and doubt department. I see a world that doesn't seem to be getting better, and I feel impatient, wondering why God's entering the world through Jesus hasn't had a greater effect. I wonder why there is still so much injustice and violence and death. I suspect I'm not the only one in this room to wonder about those things, because I know how much you all take very seriously trying to make this world a better place. And this is actually the point of Jesus' answer to John. Look around, he sees. Witness that there is good happening. When someone makes a positive difference, when we contribute to making a positive difference, God is there. These acts may not be as grand or extreme as we might hope or expect from God. No mighty claps of thunder striking down people who harm others. No fiery chariots filled with armed angels separating the wheat from the chaff. Yet, when we really look, God is truly active. And even though it may not really seem like it at times, a baby born 2,000 years ago really has changed and is still changing everything. I read a story when researching for this sermon, and I want to share it. The entire story is actually too long to read, so I'll just give you the gist of it. It's called The Luck of Roaring Camp and comes from an historical American writing by Bret Hart. Has anybody heard of it? Ah, I see one nod of the head. So Roaring Camp was a rough and tough mining town in the West. People who lived there disliked visitors and were generally unpleasant. There was plenty of crime, fugitives, lots of gamblers and gambling, and plenty of guns. It was a place populated entirely by men, except for one woman, Cherokee Sow. The story actually begins with a bunch of these camp men standing around outside a door trying to decide what to do because Cherokee Sow has become pregnant and is in labor. And of course, this group of rough and tough men have no idea what to do. They waited, and the baby was born. But sadly, Cherokee Sal did not survive the birth. The men took this little baby, and they put him into an old candle box with some red flannel. Somehow, that just wasn't enough. And once they decided that they were going to adopt this little baby, one of the men rode, something like 80 miles to buy a rosewood cradle. He brought it back, and they put the flannel and the baby into that beautiful little cradle. Oh, but that flannel just didn't look quite right in that rosewood cradle. So they put their money together and sent someone else out to buy some silk and lace blankets. They put the baby in this cradle lined with silk and put the new blanket over him. It looked fine until someone else noticed that the rest of the furniture and the house itself, kind of needed a little bit of work. So these men, who had done nothing really in their adult life but cause trouble before that little baby was born, they began washing the cabin, purchasing new furnishings for it, and they started taking the baby to the place where they would do their mining. And even in that place, They made it nicer by planting shrubs and flowers for that little baby boy. Little by little, things were looking better. The men were also changing. Some began singing to the little one. They all agreed they needed to stop with the foul language, and they cleaned up their own clothes and bodies. They gave up a lot of their fighting. After all, a baby needs lots of sleep, and babies can't sleep during a brawl. The whole feel of Roaring Camp changed and became less hostile. These men were learning to work together for the good of something outside themselves. That one little baby born in Roaring Camp, eventually named Thomas Luck, changed everything. The change, it didn't happen all at once. It took people recognizing that there was something so important that maintaining life the way it was no really longer an option. It took others noticing the changes and feeling empowered and moved to build on those changes to do more. Each change, each improvement in itself was pretty small, but they kept adding up. And when you look at the time it really took, it added up to something pretty tremendous. In Jesus' answer to John, we are all asked to look out and find those little pieces of evidence that Christ has come. And even when they are so small, we probably wouldn't see them if we weren't actively looking, we are still being told to look for them. We are asked to see those little bits of compassion and restoration, of healing and love. Once we do that, we will then recognize that it's up to us to keep that change happening. But even more than serving as little encouragements to keep us making a positive difference, when we look, these are all little glimpses of hope that will feed our faith. John was in jail, wondering and doubting. The words from Jesus through the disciples back to John were words sending encouragement and hope. They weren't just confirmation that Jesus was the one who had been promised. The words are a message to us as well. Words of hope in the midst of a world that might feel dark at times. I hoped that during this Advent and Christmas season, and all of the weeks to follow, and all of the days to follow, that you will look for these glimpses of God's presence, acts both big and small, and that they will bring hope and bolster you to go out and demonstrate the love of God, which will give others hope and bolster them to go out and do the same. Amen.